Hello, listeners. This is Lee Price.
This is Will Ford from Football 365.
And you're listening, smartly, to At the Bridge Pod, a Chelsea FC podcast, although I would describe it as the Chelsea FC podcast.
Magical from Eden Hazard! Kai Havertz in the Champions League final! Ivanovic!
Yes. In the middle, it's just behind him. Intercepted by Hakimi. It's
Matic with the ball driver! Takes the net off.
It's time for another episode of At the Bridge Pod, your number one Chelsea FC podcast. Coming up on this episode,
here we go, it's the Ultimate Energy Drink Cup final preview. Oh, welcome back everyone to another episode of At the Bridge Pod. I'm joined in a virtual room filled with some lines and on a Thursday, the Thursday show, because, you know, we try and get everyone around the table and someone's not here. Someone is not here, but we've got
the man that we do this on a Thursday yeah, for.
Exactly.
He's not here,
but here we are. We're doing it. So yeah, we're going for it. Hey, Berth's here. Ollie's here. I'm here. You're here, listener. That's important.
Arguably most important.
Yes, of course. Just talking into the ether.
What other kind of podcast strokes the listener's ego? You know, you guys are really the best, and that thing
exactly.
You were thinking about doing, you should do it.
Yeah, exactly. What are you, both of you, looking forward to this weekend?
You know what? I'm actually not doing much this weekend, which is unlike me. And I feel a bit boring for saying it. So I will find something to do. And when Monday comes around, I'll be like, throw out a great answer. But for now, I'm not doing anything. So
that's what I like from you, Berth, is commitment to getting a good weekend. That is not my goal.
commitment to get a good show and good content for the
damn
fans, because
right.
They deserve it.
They do, you handsome and beautiful devils, you.
I thought he was telling me that I was handsome and beautiful.
You're handsome too.
You are a beautiful specimen of a male.
I'm seeing family again this weekend. A lot of family lately. It's doing me good.
Nice. I don't know what I'm doing now. I didn't write anything down. So that's what happens when the NFL season finishes. I don't know what I'm doing with my life. No. Oh man. But I might just watch some random stuff. The listeners, tell me something to watch or something, you know. Yeah, let's go with that. with that, let's hit the news. Oh, it's that time of the week. We're going to check out news you may have missed in the elevator of Chelsea news. Mia Fischel has suffered a torn ACL whilst on international duty. Brighton and Hove Albion's head of recruitment, Sam Jewell, yes, son of Paul Jewell, has accepted an offer to join Chelsea in a senior position. Chelsea are monitoring the situation of Harry Kane at Bayern Munich. Chelsea's lead physiotherapist, Steve Hughes, is set to leave the club at the end of this month after nearly 23 years at the club. And finally, Ronaldinho turned up on an episode of Survivor in Turkey, wearing a Boston Celtics Jason Tatum jersey. I don't know. I just had to put it in there.
Ronaldinho's like, he's like the guy who's completed life before he was like 30. Now he's just going down, doing all the side quests.
It's like, it was like a slot machine of level of random, you know, that whole, he was in Survivor. Okay. Wearing a Boston Celtics jersey. Right. Okay.
If anyone had that on their 2024 bingo card, you're a liar.
I just love him. He just makes random appearances. He's not even been in Fortnite. So that'd be too easy, wouldn't it? Tony Hawk's Pro Skater. I'd love that.
I think we should. Maybe we could start referring to him as former prisoner Ronaldinho.
Bloody hell. Even then, he won a tournament. He won a tournament whilst I think he was like temporarily being held for passport stuff. Allegedly, I don't know anymore. I'm staying out of this. But he's just fun. He's just fun. What from this week's news grabbed your attentions?
Mia Fischel's
that's another
absolutely
one.
Devastating.
Yeah.
You know, I feel so bad for her. And I think I speak for all of us when I say, you know, we wish her a swift recovery and hope she gets back on the grass as soon as possible.
Yeah, I mean, damn, if we hadn't bought Myra Ramirez back in January. That's our main striker in Sam Kerr and our backup now gone because of ACLs.
It's so difficult, and it seems to be so prevalent in the women's game at the moment.
Yeah.
Some things got to change.
Yeah. You know? I mean, the season's been a wild ride already, but, you know, wishing her a speedy recovery. And she just started, obviously, to get picked for the national team. So that's going to hit her hard, which, you know, And now we've just got Maya and Kat up top after the break, with, and she's just coming back off her own injury. So it's kind of like, fuck. Yeah, it's going to be tough. It's going to be very, very tough to close out this season. But if anyone can do it, Chelsea women can.
Damn right.
I'm going to moan now, because that Athletic article's something in my eyes. It got under my skin with the "Can Chelsea afford to win the League Cup?" rubbish.
Oh, I'm so glad you brought this up.
Because so I'll tell you, it kind of felt like the media were already crafting a narrative where they could later claim that losing was the better outcome for us. But let's be real, winning a trophy is never a bad thing. Sure, yes. Sure. There's talk
Chelsea
about
Football Club. Yeah. It is never a bad thing.
Sure. There's talk about, you know, we return to UEFA competitions. And then obviously they have different financial regulations that come with it. But I'm just so bored of hearing about PSR I'm just bored. All this chatter about our financial situation being in disarray is just speculation. There's never any concrete evidence. It's just hearsay and opinions passed off as news. We had it last year. We were going to struggle. We didn't. The reality is nobody truly knows what's going on with our finances but the club, and the media just capitalize on the stories because they know it will grab attention. Yeah. And if
you're worried about our finances, listeners, just remember it will be fine until it's not. And then you can't control that anyway. So
if anyone is buying into the idea that winning a trophy is somehow bad for the club, I don't know what to say to you, because it's rubbish. It's a trophy. I would really happily win a bloody League Cup, considering what, I mean, other clubs have had it much worse in trophy droughts. But after what the last two seasons we've seen, I would be delighted to win the League Cup. I couldn't give a shit about next season yet.
Arguably the biggest trophy in world football, really.
Is it the biggest? The Stanley Cup's bigger. That's taller. It's definitely taller.
Yeah, it's true. It's definitely taller.
It's got some weight behind it. Go on, Berth.
No, I mean, it's so annoying. I keep seeing this article over and over and over again from different sources, and it's just really boring. It's just like, they don't get enough eyeballs on it, so they have to repeat and rehash it, and it's just, who gives a shit?
The thing is everyone knows negative news about Chelsea sells and clicks so
negative news in gen. I've never, I mean, the problem
but
is...
But you know for a fact, like, there is absolutely no... Like, there's no club, seemingly, in the Premier League that they could talk about that, like, where around this sort of thing, around finances, like they do about Chelsea, because they just love to stir the pot so much.
Yeah, I'm bored. Yeah. It's the same every time.
Because what it is it all plays into the same narrative that they've all decided from day one, which is American owner equal bad. And so, you know, like, yeah. And so that, and fortunately, our owners have done a great job at making sure that narrative has stuck. And now it's just going to stick for ages. And hopefully we win this final and then go on and win the European competition it puts us in anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I've already seen like the tail off of this go. Oh, well, they could just do an AC Milan and forego their place. We haven't won the trophy yet. And we're thinking, no, what? Just shut up. Let us enjoy the game. If we win, fuck yeah. If we don't, so be it. But I don't want to see on Monday morning if we lose. Well, in hindsight, it's a very, very good decision because, you know, we don't have to worry about the finances being in UEFA guidelines. I don't care.
Just see it. It's going to annoy me so
I don't
much.
Care. If on Monday, I'm here moaning about that article that's been posted on Monday. That will be the worst part about losing to Liverpool. Not losing to Liverpool in general and losing out on a trophy, but hearing that bollocks on Monday.
I think for me, it would be seeing Klopp's smug face smile and punches in the air.
It's the Klopp farewell tour.
Oh, my God. Don't. I'm in such a mood when I see it. Oh.
On that, this weekend, of course, sees Chelsea in their first cup final under the Clear Lake ownership. We are taking on Liverpool, who are on the Jurgen Klopp farewell tour. So we're gonna preview that final and what we can expect. So we enter the final with Liverpool. They're soaring quite high in the league. They're top, so you can't get really higher than that. Chelsea's roller coaster of a season sees us in 10th because we love that. But hey, don't count Chelsea out just yet. It's a cup win, could turn our season around. But so what I wrote down was, I thought, how did we both get here? Well, in the midst of obviously Klopp's announcement regarding his departure, it's kind of, for him, it's a unique place, isn't it, for him to get a final piece of silverware. I couldn't give a shit about that. But for them, their journey began third round. They played Leicester. Obviously, Foxes took an early lead, but they came back. Second half comeback, Gakpo, Szoboszlai and Jota won. They then played Bournemouth in the next round. Chelsea's campaign. We had to kick off earlier because we weren't in Europe. So, So we kicked off against Wimbledon, where we encountered quite an unexpected challenge from them. They were pretty decent, conceded an early penalty. However, we had our own
fight.
That
game was so shit.
I remember coming back.
I'm going to say that about every round on.
Well, it was pretty fair. I mean, that was the game I'd come back from Ireland the first. And I was like, oh, I'll get to watch us play. And I was like, because the day before we'd signed Cole Palmer. I was just like, well, that was when I got on that plane and got off and we'd already signed Cole Palmer. I was like, what the fuck happened in that flight? What? That's just mad. But where did we go? We beat them. We then played Brighton, beat them, played Blackburn, beat them.
That was a good game, actually. We played well in that game.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Brighton, if I remember rightly. For sure. 100%. Could not agree any more with that. And obviously, then we took on Newcastle. We were losing till the dying minutes, and then Mudryk scored a dramatic equaliser in the 92nd minute. Went to penalties. Petrovic was the hero. We went into the next round, semi-finals. We took on Borough. Less about the first leg, the better. The second, 6-1. I mean, what do you think the journey for both teams has taught us ahead of this final? Probably fuck all, but...
Don't count out the lesser team.
Yeah, yeah.
So it says to me is that anyone can win it and anyone can beat anyone in a cup competition over 90 minutes and, you know, potentially extra time and penalties. You've got a good chance. Although I think we've got a bit of a better chance now. Liverpool are the only team in the world to have injuries. So
bloody terrible about that crisis.
I hear they're having a minute silence before the game for all of Liverpool's injuries.
And oh, so they should. So they should.
Oh, my word.
So they should.
I mean, what do you think, Berth? What's it taught you?
I do agree with Ollie that like sort of anything can happen. Like the underdogs, you should never rule them out.
I think that will help us though. I think when we're underdogs, we do better generally.
I mean, you look at us against Man City the other day. I'm sure us included, we wrote us off before we even kicked a ball.
Yep.
And we played really well. I think we are better and we perform better when the sort of. We are the underdogs, and I don't think Sunday will be any different.
And we play better against the better teams, usually.
We do, and I think against Liverpool, the game against
I would have more faith in us beating Liverpool than beating like Brentford in the cup final.
Yeah, because Liverpool will come out and play. Yeah. Liverpool. I said the other week that I think we'll find it easier to break down Liverpool than Middlesbrough. We beat Middlesbrough 6-1, but I think we can get Liverpool because they will go for
which
it.
Which means we're winning the final 7-1.
Yeah, we're winning it 5-0. So
we're kind of always better as the underdog. We're not endorsing any sponsors here. I'm just saying that the odds at the moment put us not favourite. Liverpool are favourite, which benefits us. We're like a shitter Atletico Madrid. You know, we're happy to be in the final as the underdog. Whether we'll play, we should play a low block. We should do that. That should be our thing. Turn the kryptonite into our best weapon.
It's still bizarre to me why we seem to
why we're there
possession. No, why we play possession based football when we are clearly a counter attacking team.
Yeah. Oh my just give the word. Ball we are so like, good at the counter.
I just don't like. I don't know. For me, you know, it's not even like counter attacking football is like some kind of. You know, like weak or bad play way to play. You know, like we absolutely stormed the league playing counter attack under Conte. You know, like it's something big clubs can and do, and I just don't see why we don't.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at it in recent seasons, the two sides have been quite evenly matched. You know, 7 of their last 8 meetings again across all the competitions have ended in draws, including the cup finals that were decided by penalties. So officially, we didn't lose those games in regular time.
That says a lot about how shit we've been and how good they've been, but we've still managed to
get most
of the games. I mean, like, losing in penalties in the moment it matters is absolutely devastating, and I really hope that doesn't happen. But it shows that we, you know, even in our worst moments, we're not as bad as we think.
No. I mean, the form right now, last 5 games, Chelsea have won 3, lost 2. that obviously that began with two defeats, but we've recovered three in a row now. Obviously, we lost 4-1, didn't we, to, you know, Liverpool. But and then it got worse, didn't we? 4-2 to Wolves. That was the worst point. The 4-1 defeat didn't hurt like the Wolves did, because that one was just, we were mauled by the Wolves. We were tragic against them. But then obviously we beat Villa in the cup replay. We beat Palace. We got that point against City, you know.
As a confidence builder, those three games are good to build on. You've got, we absolutely pasted Villa. Palace were a surmountable but difficult obstacle. Thank you, Conor Gallagher. And we, you know, got a point against and probably should have beaten the best team in the world last week. So like as a confidence builder, it's not bad.
Yeah.
I have a question for you two though, and I know we're getting slightly ahead of ourselves. We're talking about potentially winning the final. But do you think if we win the Carabao Cup final, do you think Pochettino deserves to stay?
Yeah.
Yeah, you it'd be very
on balance,
harsh.
It's kind of hard not to see, like, Chelsea's a club about silverware and about winning and about trophies. Like, if you win a trophy, you kind of got to stay, right? Regardless of how bad the league is.
You have. And it's that will annoy some people. But at the end of the day, if you win a trophy in your first season with a new and young team, that's successful. That, I mean, look at Arteta as well. He won the FA Cup in his first season. Finished, like, what, 8th or 9th with Arsenal? Now look at them. So, you know, you can build momentum in a trophy.
I mean, I kind of think back to Conte. He won the FA Cup and got fired. it happens.
It does.
Yeah. I mean, I clearly have no idea about... I wrote down form guide and I just registered what I said when you said... I clearly remember Manchester City being beaten by us because I said we'd won three in a row. We haven't. We've won two and then drew. Liverpool.
It felt like a win, though, didn't it?
It felt like a win. That is the moral high ground.
It did.
Liverpool have won four, lost one, beating ourselves, Burnley and Luton and Brentford, and then obviously they lost to Arsenal. Form.
I don't think that, like, in terms of the form, I would say that's pretty even because they've not played the strongest teams really.
Form means bugger all in a cup final.
Yeah, that's true.
It does. I mean, momentum helps, but I mean, one thing that's going to decide this tie. The players usually, but obviously which
that does
players
help. They do
it does
help.
It slightly, you know, sometimes the beach ball gets involved, but which
if you try without them you will lose.
Yeah, that's a guarantee. Well, I don't know, sometimes our performances which players though from both teams are you sort of expecting to make the biggest impact in this final?
I think Conor Gallagher's a big player for Sunday.
Yeah.
I think he if he's on it from the first minute. I think we win that game. I think he's so important.
He sets the tone is the thing. If he comes out of the traps flying and is, you know, like screaming at everyone to get forward, press properly, organising the line, I feel like we've got a really good chance because we can reasonably win the midfield battle against Liverpool. Enzo Caicedo and Gallagher is better than what Gravenberch, McAllister and Endo or whoever or who else will play in there. Elliot maybe.
Yeah.
I feel like we've got the better of them in the midfield, but their attack is much better than ours. And so I feel for me that one of their biggest players is going to be Darwin Nunez. I feel like he's going to be a real handful.
Is he fit?
He's a doubt.
I think he'll play.
He's a doubt at the moment. I mean, for me, I feel that it's our midfield trio of Gallagher, Caicedo and Enzo. If they're on their game, then against the Liverpool 11, I believe we can win the war right there, win that midfield battle. Because if you win that midfield, you win the game in this instance for me. And that also goes for Liverpool, because if their midfield of Endo, Gravenberch and McAllister can hold their own and dominate, then they decide the tie. And I didn't want to get too confident and think, you know, they've had injuries, whatever. I actually watched the Luton-Liverpool game extended highlights last night. And damn. I'm seeing Endo play next to McAllister. That kind of tells me that how he played tells me that Alexis was the reason for maybe our own Caicedo's form last year, because Endo has his own warrior mentality that he brings. You know, he's a proper midfield, you know, he's like that Fabinho mould. However, McAllister just seems to lift everyone's performances up another level. And that's what I think we have to be wary of, because Liverpool got a top deal, in my opinion, bringing them both in when they missed out on Caicedo. I mean, value for money. Sorry, Endo and Lexis are miles ahead of Enzo and Caicedo on value for money.
Well, Liverpool can enjoy the value for money cup then. that will be an interesting battle, because I wonder if because I know McAllister's going to play a bit deeper, but that sort of midfield battle, you know, him versus Gallagher, or even if Caicedo pushes on and they're, you know, they both know each other so well, it's going to be a really, really interesting game. And like you say, Mikey, the midfield is going to be absolutely crucial.
Yeah, I feel Sterling's got a key role in this, because he's got to focus on dominating Conor Bradley. You know, Bradley's flourished replacing Trent.
Take him to school, Raheem.
Raheem was absolutely outstanding against Kyle Walker last week. And if he can do that to a younger player, if he can showcase everything good about his own game, like he did against City, we can create the chances. That's the thing.
I think he's a Sterling as well. I think he's a Sterling. He does get big goals.
Yeah, that's the thing.
He's always got big goals. And he's used to being in a cup final. Not many of our players will be used to playing in a cup final. He has played in many. So he is vital as well. And I think he will start. I presume he'll start. I think he's after shows experience on
gonna
the pitch.
It's going to be interesting, because like, you never know what Chelsea you're going to get in a game these days. And I think we're going to be able to tell if we're going to win or lose the final from maybe like the first 5-10 minutes of the game. If we come out of the gates and we look lethargic and slow, and like we're not set up properly, we're going to get absolutely embarrassed.
You say that. When we started against City, we didn't start well.
Yeah, but you can tell in the first 5-10 minutes what Chelsea you're getting in a game this season. You just can. Like, I've been able to pretty accurately tell in the first 5-10 minutes of a game. Like, a good example would be probably like the Wolves game. I watched the first 5 minutes of that and went, no, we're not winning this. And we didn't. We were embarrassed at the end. And I watched the first 5 minutes of Villa and went, oh, we're doing all right. We might play today. And we did. We did really well. So it just feels like Chelsea really need to harness all of that hype, harness the three little birds from Bob Marley, harness everything that's gotten us this far, and just channel it into one game, because this could be really, really important, and more so arguably than I think a lot of people are saying. Because like we were talking about earlier, about like the Chelsea is a club about winning trophies, this is a really good opportunity to engender that kind of winning culture and attitude and mentality amongst a very young squad. And that could be the difference in the future between sort of like mealy mouth, you know, mid-table finishes, or actually moving on in this so-called project and getting where we want to be.
Yeah. We know the injuries. There's a lot for both sides. You know, we've got Fofana, Silva, James.
Oh, do Liverpool have any injuries? They didn't mention it.
A couple. They got like Jota, Arnold.
No, they didn't mention it. They're really Allison. Usually magnanimous couple. About that.
I mean, what would your starting 11 be for this game? I mean, personally, I'd go unchanged for my game against City.
Yeah, I think I'd agree with that.
I think unless a change would be forced somehow, I would go for the same again, because it just seems that team performs so well against a team that's so similar.
Yeah, I mean that's the thing. I mean, that loss to Liverpool in the league, look, it wasn't about luck or a circle. It was about our defense not applying enough pressure. You know, there's enough articles out there. If you watch tactical breakdowns of our game, we let Liverpool dictate the flow of the game. And let me tell you about that Man City match that we watched. Chelsea kind of rolled out, which I was brought to by someone on, I think it was either on Twitter or the Discord, put it in, about how they rolled out this sort of 3-2 at the backs formation, where we had the centre-backs wide either side of Petrovic, and that sort of freed up the full-backs to go on the offensive. And because of how we set up, Enzo and Caicedo sort of orchestrated our build-up play, and it was beautiful. It worked, and there was chances left and right. And this worked because I feel that as well, Haaland, you look at him, top-class, world-class striker, but he ain't much for pressing. You know, he can't cover the whole field on his own. And Liverpool's front three, they're not exactly the Conor Gallagher pressing levels either.
Nunes is. You know,
we've got to be... he's chaos.
But he does have that energy. Really does. He's a very, very good player. And if they're pressing with him from the front, like you say, he's a doubt. But if we're pressing with... they're pressing with him from the front, could be a tough game for us.
I mean, with City, if we play the game we played against City, the question comes down to, will we finish those chances we create? If we do that, we win this final.
Yeah.
I mean, what's your prediction for the outcome of this final? I'm going for a 2-0. I haven't said the team.
We're going to look so silly. Regardless.
Of what... I've gone 2-0, so someone's...
I'm going to go 2-1.
Don't say teams.
3-0.
Nice. I suppose that means that I've got two. I also would help if I actually went, oh, look, Lion of the Week. So we've got a cup final against Liverpool. It's on Sunday. Who are you choosing?
I'm going to go Gallagher. I mentioned him earlier. I think Gallagher will be, if we're to win, it'll be because of him, I think, and how he plays.
I'm going to go with, I had a great game against City, so I think he'll step up for this one. Axel Disasi. I think he's got to have a really important game if we want any chance of winning.
Oh my word, I'm actually really happy with my pick. The wheel has given me Axel Disasi as well.
Okay. In which case, no, you get the power of the wheel, so I'm gonna change mine. I'm gonna give mine to Jackson.
Oh, what a shout. Good shout.
I feel like the wheel...
Two
the
very
wheel,
similar players as well.
To trump you. If you get the same on the wheel, you just got to change.
Well, right, there's the cup final previewed. Hopefully, I'm sure listeners will have their own opinions about how it will go. Who knows? Let's just have fun. Let's just enjoy it. Enjoy the day. That's not the attitude we're taking. We're actually going there to win. That's
as Chelsea
doing.
Fans, enjoy the right. day. The team, if you're listening to this show...
Win.
Have you not, but win. Please.
On that, as we head to Charisma's questions, I'm going to throw this in because you haven't touched on it, but the Pochettino thing. Thomas Tuchel's going from Bayern. Not everyone on Twitter. I might have asked, would you have liked to have gone for some food with Tom?
Absolutely not. That would have been the most stressful meal you'd ever eat.
A nice steak, a nice fish and chip supper. I don't know, you know, a vegan dish. I don't know. But now he's gone from Bayern. Would you have him back?
No.
I just don't see. I saw
the Twitter. Love Thomas Tuchel. I love what he's done for the club. I would personally run through the brick wall for the guy. But I do not want him back.
The thing is, he's very much like Antonio Conte. Fantastic for us, did really well, but he's that personality that just falls out with players and falls out with chairmen and owners, and it's just always.
He always has. Look, we knew what we were getting into when he signed for us.
Yeah, because that was PSG.
You know what? He always falls out with the ownership. Now you could go, yeah, but not with us. He fell out with Dortmund. He fell out with PSG. He fell out with Chelsea, and he seems to have fallen out with Bayern. it also doesn't help when your team are playing shit and you're Bayern Munich and you've won the title for the last 116 years and somehow you're not winning it this year. But who knows? I mean, for me, I wouldn't take Tuchel back because you know you live in the past, you die in the present. I'm standing by that. And he'll probably go to Man United. He'll probably do all right for the first season and then fall out with Ratcliffe and whoever's, you know, if the Glazers are still there. Mark my words. But we do have an actual question from one of you listeners, not from us. It's Josh, and he's asked, what is the best Champions League final and League Cup final you guys have ever watched? And I did drop it to the lads because I feel like we shouldn't say with Chelsea, with any with Chelsea in, because I feel that that's too easy. Because it would be the 2012 final for Champions League. Because it's
however,
so bloody good.
For the League Cup, I couldn't not pick the 3-2 against Liverpool, personally.
Yeah, I'll allow it. Well, this weekend, what a game.
With any luck.
Yeah, wow.
But no, like, you know,
imagine if that comes off. That'd
be great. But, you know, like, was it like Jose's first trophy for us? You know, like, just a lot of parallels in a sense in terms of, like, it could be the first trophy for that squad and it could be the first trophy for this squad that we've got now as well. Just a really enjoyable game that was.
Yeah. What about your Champions League?
I'm going to go... I can't remember what year it was, but it was the one where it was Atletico Real Madrid and Atletico were leading the whole game. La Decima. And then Ramos scored and then they won it 4-1 in extra time. They just completely blew them away. I've got fond memories of that because I remember watching it with my dad and stuff. And it was just a really, really good game of football.
That is a beautiful, beautiful answer because that is mine. 4-1 against Atletico. And no one asked for this, but I'd say that the worst final I've ever watched was the first one I ever watched in 2003. It was
Juventus.
It was so shit. Yeah. It went to pens.
Nothing can be worse than Liverpool Spurs.
Yeah, that game was...
It was over for a minute. The game ended immediately.
I can't disagree. No, I can't disagree. Right, League Cup final. That's what I've gone. Chris, actually. Another who's not here today.
You missed that my Champions League final, by the way. Just thought I'd...
Oh, sorry. That. No, go ahead. Go ahead. No, Which one's yours?
It's okay. I actually think 2011 when Barcelona beat Man U 3-1.
Great final.
Just because I think that Prime
Guardiola Barca ball.
That Barcelona team is the best team I've ever watched on a football pitch.
Yeah, I think that's just unbelievable. Very fair. Yeah. League Cup is the same, Chris said in our group chat, and it's the same for me. Birmingham 2, Arsenal 1 in 2011. That was just bloody wild. I loved it. It was just, there was no way in any chance that Blues were going to win that, and they did. And it's just because of the incredible Seattle Sounders legend, Obafemi Martins, when he scored that winner because Koscielny and Chesney just had no idea what was going on. Oh, bloody brilliant. It was, and they got relegated 3 months later.
Good
so.
For them.
But hey.
Yeah.
First trophy since 63. It's all right. Well, what about you, Berth? What's your favourite League Cup final?
I'm sure. I think it was Cardiff 2, Liverpool 2, and it went to penalties. And I think Liverpool won on penalties. I can't remember when that's from. I want to say it was about 2012.
I'm going to have to look up this. I don't know. That does ring a bell,
I'm sure.
Didn't Paul Gerrard play in that game?
Yes, I'm sure. Or was it Anthony Gerrard?
2012 League Cup final.
Yeah.
2-2, right.
I remember watching it and Cardiff didn't have a chance. No one gave Cardiff a chance and they gave Liverpool a great game. And yeah, it was just really entertaining.
Big up Cardiff.
Cardiff had the look of the draw that year. They had Oxford, Huddersfield, Leicester, Burnley, Blackburn, Crystal Palace. And Liverpool had Exeter, Brighton, Stoke, Chelsea, City.
Jesus.
Wow.
Oh, wow. My word.
Big up Cardiff, though. Oh, well, represent. It's where I live.
Yeah.
They got to the FA Cup final, didn't they? Around that time.
Yeah.
Against Bournemouth.
Terrible now, though.
Is it all right?
Do you remember when they went for that weird season where they played in a red kit? And
You can't do that. And everyone hated it.
Yeah, I wonder why when you're a blue team and you change your kit to a red. Why would that cause upset? I don't know.
I mean, in terms of an actual factual concept, it makes sense. But it's just like ignoring everything else about the club. And it's just like, why would you? Like, there's no point.
Yes, because they were the Bluebirds, weren't they? And they were like, no, we're going to be Red Dragons. And it was like, oh, that's going to go down so badly.
And it did.
No.
Like, Stevie Wonder could have seen that going badly.
Dreadful. It was absolutely dreadful. So we move to the final section, which is the Lone Army Carousel. Oh, that music. Oh, yes. So the game of categories, and the category this week is Serie A. Now, there are 38 players from Great Britain and Ireland that have played in Serie A since 1990. Can you name them all?
Since 1990.
Berth just took the lead. Go for it, Berth. You take the lead. I'm happy to go ahead with that.
Sorry, what? I'm not sure what.
You've got to go first, basically.
okay. So any player from Great Britain to play...
Or Ireland.
Syria. Or Ireland to play in Syria.
Yes.
Ruben Loftus-Cheek.
Yes.
Fikayo Tomori.
Yes.
Gary Lineker.
Bloody hell, we're Ollie, you can win this quite quickly.
Oh no,
it was quite an easy one. David Beckham.
David Beckham's on there.
Yeah, brilliant.
You know what? Because we really, really buggered that up quite quick. I will say you can carry on, but Berth, you've lost.
Go on, Berth. Go for another one.
Win the high ground.
I don't even. Oh, Ashley Young's one of them. There we go.
Yeah,
I know another one as well. I know another one as well. Yeah, that was the one I knew. Paul Gascoigne, has he played there?
He did. He played for Lazio.
Now I'm struggling. Smalling, he played for Roma.
Yeah.
Someone here you should know.
Michael Richards.
He did play for Fiorentina.
Yeah.
You have missed out some famous names.
Ashley Cole played for Roma.
He did.
Yeah, of course. I don't know. Don't know any of us.
Okay, so you've...
Did Joe Hart play in Italy on loan?
He did. Torino.
Wow.
Yeah, he did, didn't he?
Yes. Right.
I don't know if it's terrible at this.
You could have had Aaron Hickey. I'm pretty sure he's at... I don't want to Google it yet. No, he's the one that... Oh, well, he probably is now. He played for, I want to say, Cagliari. I don't know if it was that or Bologna. Hang on.
Nope,
oh, it was Bologna. Idea. Yeah. He's now at Brentford, yeah. But anyway, we've got Aaron Ramsey at Juve.
Yeah,
of course.
Can anyone tell me where Ainsley Maitland-Niles is right now?
Wow.
Genoa?
Yeah, I was going to say Genoa. Well,
I don't know.
No, he's currently on loan at Lyon, but he played on loan for Roma. I don't remember that at all. Yeah. Axel Tuanzebe from United. Ben Wilmot. Danny Dicchio. What a name. Danny Dicchio.
Is Tuanzebe? Is Tuanzebe English, though? I thought he was Dutch.
Hang on. I'm going to check the wiki.
VAR.
Not that it matters, because I've lost massively anyway, but...
He represented the England under-21s. So, yes, he was English. Even though he was born in DR Congo, but he represented the England under-21s. So, that's his national team at that time. But
okay. And until he gets called up again for another national team.
Exactly. David Platt, Des Walker. These are the names that Chris is screaming at us right now. Jed Spence, Ethan Ampadu.
Oh, yeah, should have got that one.
Yeah.
Festi Oboselli. I don't remember him.
Oboselli.
I don't remember him.
I don't know. That just sounds like the way to say it instead of the way
Franz Carr, Harry Winks, Jack Hendry, James Abankwa, Jay Boffroyd. I remember him. I don't know why we make you read all the names. I know. It's so unfair. Josh Doig, Keenan Davis. Don't remember him playing in the Serie A.
Wow.
Lee Sharp, Lewis Ferguson, Liam Henderson, Lewis Binks. This is the ones that I'm shocked that you didn't get. Nathaniel Chalobah.
He played in Italy.
Wow. Yeah, he was on loan there. Or did he move? He played at Napoli. Oh my
word, I
remember that.
He did.
That one's completely left my mind. I can't remember him playing there at all.
Paul Ince, Robbie Keane, Rolando Vieira, Samuel Illing Jr., and Stephen Mavididi.
Mavididi.
Yeah. Was he Arsenal?
He started at Arsenal, I think. I'm sure he started at Arsenal.
But, yeah. Oh, yeah, he was. Yeah. Arsenal youth player. Bloody hell. He's currently at Leicester. There we go. He played one game at Juventus, but he did play 32 games for the under-23 team. So there you go. What an interesting move, because he left Arsenal to join there. That's just interesting.
Didn't win the championship, though.
Oh, yeah. But
I can see why a lot of British players would go to Italy, though. You know, good food, good weather, good football.
I remember reading the Michael Richards autobiography, and he was really, really talking up Florence like it was just the place to... Just
Where did
to,
Michael
to
Richards
live.
Play? Did he play for Lazio?
Fiorentina, when he was... Because he spoke about them incredibly. And hey, I wouldn't mind living in Tuscany.
Maybe the football's not that good then.
No.
Well, I don't know who he played with then, because he'd have played with some like top players there.
He played with Salah. I'm sure he played with Salah.
I'm going to check this before we go, listeners, because I actually want to see what season he played in.
Is there any, could he have had any overlap with Vlahovic when he was at Fiorentina, maybe?
I don't know. 14, 15.
It's going to be close, but I don't think so.
No, probably not. Don't forget that was 10 years ago.
Oh, Jesus, don't. Like,
time flies, doesn't it? He played with Marcus Alonso. Oh, wow. Yeah. Bloody hell. Oh,
he runs down the wing for me.
David Pizarro, Alberto Aquilani, Joaquin, Boya Vareiro.
All right, I'll tell you that back. The football's pretty good.
Gilardino, Giuseppe Rossi, Mario Gomez, Mohamed Salah, yeah, wow. Marco Marin. Oh my word, yes, I love that so
much. Everyone was convinced he was going to be the biggest thing in the next big thing in 2010.
So did I, because he was great on FIFA. So that meant he was going to be a world beater in real
life. Him and Mario Pasalic.
Oh, wow. Some nostalgia there. Right, yeah. Listeners, we're at the end of another episode. Thank you for listening. We'll be back Monday to review a win. A win. That's what we're going to be reviewing. Celebrating.
Didn't say who for.
We didn't say that. But we will be back on Monday. Until then, that'll be us signing off.
You've been listening to At The Bridge Pod, a Chelsea FC podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram by searching for At The Bridge Pod. And if you're listening on Apple or Spotify, leaving us a review is always appreciated.